John chapter 2, as we are back in our study in the book of John, and today's passage is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it's a significant story because this is the first miracle that Jesus performs in his public ministry. It's also significant because this is the only place this story is mentioned here is in John chapter 2. It's not mentioned in any of the other Gospels, and so that makes it significant as well. And I think, too, a lot of people ask themselves or wonder, or they want God to work in their life. They want to experience God and don't necessarily know how. And I think this passage is going to give us a very clear way to make that happen. You know, if I was going to title the message, I would say how to experience God in your life. I would have maybe titled it how to get things from God. And I think it'd be the same along the same lines. And so let's read this passage this morning, a very familiar passage in John chapter 2 and verse number 1. It said, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today, and God, we want to give praise to your name for being a great God and loving and kind and merciful to us. And God, as we look at this passage of Scripture today, God, I pray you would show us, Lord, the path to experiencing you in real and personal and intimate ways. God, to experience in the supernatural in our life and the things that we've got to do to see that happen. God, I don't know how it is with each one here today, but God, I pray you'd speak to them by your Spirit and through your Word. And Lord, that you'd use the message to help fulfill your will in their life. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when we look at this story, what's going on here in the first 2 verses, it says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." And again, when we're thinking today about how to experience God in your life in a personal and intimate way, when we look at this passage, the first thing I see is that they're at a wedding. And a wedding is just a normal event in life. I don't know about you, but man, when I'm invited to a wedding, I say, ooh, I wish someone wouldn't have invited me to that so I don't have to go. But you know, those are just normal things. It's kind of like birthday parties when my kids were younger and people would come to the birthday parties. I'd always tell the men who came, I would say, listen, you are not obligated to come to this party. And now I want you to tell me I'm not obligated to go to your children's birthday parties. But, you know, there are these events that happen. And my point in saying all that is this, that God shows up and he works in and for and through normal people doing normal things. I mean, if you think about this story, Jesus and his mom and the disciples are at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. It's just a normal, everyday thing that happens in normal people's lives all the time. And I want you to know how God's going to work in your life. He's going to work in a normal person's life doing normal things. And a lot of people don't get to see God work in their life because they're chasing some sort of firework experience. They're chasing some sort of Mount Sinai, go and get the Ten Commandments from God and come down glowing from being with the presence of God. And if that is what you are looking for day in and day out of your life, I want you to know that you are going to be living a life of disappointment, because that's just not how it works. God just works in normal people doing normal things all the time. I say it oftentimes. I gave y'all this example many, many times. But man, when we think about Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, and man, we talk about Mount Sinai, and we talk about the brazen serpent, and we talk about some manna from heaven, or we talk about the Red Sea parting. What about the other 40 years? There was a lot of Tuesdays in 40 years that didn't get wrote down about. There was a lot of normal days. You know, it doesn't say like, on this Tuesday, you know, Moses and them sat around and ate and there wasn't nothing really going on. But the reality is, that's what a lot of life is. It's just normal people doing normal things. And I think about this story here. Jesus is 30 years old, right? He's 30 years old. And he comes on the scene and he does this water at the wine. Let's look at the first 30 years. There you go. That's the first 30 years. And my point is, if you're looking for these great grand events, that's why a lot of people don't make it, because they got to have these great grand events in their life, and they got to have give me the fireworks. That just don't happen. Normal people doing normal things on Monday and Tuesday of a normal life, and that's what God does. He shows up in normal people's lives. And here's the thing: a normal day with a normal wedding. And Mary was there, and she invited Jesus to be there. I want you to know that God cares about you. He cares about your family. He cares about our community. He cares about the schools our kids go to. He cares about where you work. He cares about these things. And what we have to do, if you want God in your life and you want to experience him, you got to do what Mary did and invite Jesus into your life. You have to invite him into, and you say, well, why would he want to come? Well, because he cares. Because he cares. But he wants to be invited. Let me tell you what Jesus is not going to do. He's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to just force his way into your life. He's not going to just make you spiritual and love him. But for those who will invite him, he comes and he takes part, and he has a part in their life. And so what I would say to you today is, he cares about everything you got going on. Now, everybody else don't care. Everybody don't care. There's a lot of people that don't care about what you have going on. They got their own problems, their own needs, their own desires. Your life is not that exciting. No one might care about it, but Jesus Christ cares about it. And you got to invite him to come and be a part of it. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you just pray and ask him to have a part. You begin to seek him. You begin to say, I want to know you and I want to have a relationship with you. And you tell him on your Monday tomorrow when you get up, you wave that white flag of surrender and say, God, I cannot live this day without your help and without you intervening. And I want you to be a part of my life. You invite him to come and be a part of your normal, everyday life. And then look in verse 3. It says in when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mary comes to Jesus and tells him, these folks don't have any wine. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, this seems like a small and insignificant problem, right? Like, okay, that's their fault, maybe, or that's, you know, whatever. Again, small, insignificant thing. Not Jesus, we got 100 people starving to death. Not Jesus, this person is blind, or Lazarus is dead, or any number of huge things that could be going on. These people don't have any wine for their party. That's a small, insignificant thing. And we ought to take heart today knowing that Jesus cares about small, insignificant things in your life. And by the way, Mary interceded for these people. It really wasn't even her problem. It was somebody else's problem. But she took the problem to Jesus because she knew that he could solve the problem and can help them through and do whatever he needed to do. And she comes to Jesus and says they don't have any wine. So the second thing that if you want God to be at work in your life and you want to experience him and you want to know him is you got to tell him your needs and wants and desires. Yes, I said needs and wants and desires. Sometimes I think maybe we don't want to tell him our wants. We just want to tell him our needs. Maybe you're the other way and you just tell him everything you want and you don't tell him anything else. But the reality is there's nothing too small to tell God about. There's nothing too insignificant about your life to let God know, I got a problem, I got an issue, I got a want, I got a desire. Maybe you could just tell him I want to be happy. Maybe you could just tell him I'm sad today and I need help, or I'm discouraged today and I need a touch, or I'd like a new job, or I'd like whatever. I need my marriage fixed. I've got a child who's wayward, whatever it is. You need to tell him about it. Now, I love Jesus' response. I'm paraphrasing. But she comes to Jesus and says, they don't have any wine. And Jesus says, so? That's not my issue. And this isn't my problem. And it's not time for me to be doing miracles in ministry right now. And I want you to know that a lot of people come to Jesus and this is the response they get and they quit. They come to him and say, I got a problem. And he doesn't say anything. He just looks at you like, and you come and say, I need this done. I need help. I need whatever. And you feel like you hear silence back. And I want you to know that's probably what you're hearing is silence. And the reason why God works that way is because when my kids come to me and say, Daddy, can I have this? And I say, we'll see. You know what I want? I want them to don't bring it up again. And I can go on and forget about it. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe so. Yeah. In a little while. Go away. Right. But when they are persistent, you know what happens? They get what they want. When they continue to ask. It's like the widow woman who comes to the judge at midnight and knocked on the door until she got the answer that she wanted. The reason why so many people, and by the way, I hope you know experiencing God's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be experiencing God. And the reason why a lot of people don't experience God is because they come and you think that God is a genie in a bottle today. And you think because you came to church, you did Jesus a favor. And you can rub a bottle today and say, give me 3 wishes. And he says, boom, let me give you 3 wishes and we'll move on. But you came and you said, I want to know God. And Jesus, I got these needs and these wants. And if he don't answer them by Wednesday, you're saying, hey, this isn't going to work. Well, Jesus doesn't work on your timetable. And he'd also like to see if you care enough that you're going to continue to ask and seek and do the things required to get the things you want. He is not some genie or some God sitting on a cloud who's just here to answer our every request with you doing nothing in return. That isn't how it works. But I love how Mary responded. Jesus says, so, not my problem, not my time. You're barking up the wrong tree. And Mary goes to the servants and says, hey, whatever he says to do, that's what you need to do. You know what that response lets me know? A couple of things. I mean, first off, what a great thing to say, whatever he says to say, you do it. I mean, if I had one last thing, if I'm about to die, I would just say, hey, whatever he said to do, do it. And we'd leave. But Mary just trusted. I think when Jesus says, so it's not my time, she said, oh, no, you're going to do it. Because she trusted in the goodness of God. She trusted in the goodness of Jesus to say, you know what? I know you say that, but I know you're going to do right. And hey, whatever you decide to do is right. And I'm going to trust it, and I'm going to go on trusting the goodness of God that whatever you decide and whatever you do is right, and we will accept it, and it will be good. I'm reminded of what Jonah, the prophet Jonah, said in the Old Testament whenever he went and preached to Nineveh, and Nineveh repented, and he was mad about it because he didn't like the people of Nineveh. And God said, why are you mad? He said, well, because I knew you were good. And I knew you were loving and merciful and slow to anger. And I knew you would spare these people. And I knew that you would repent of the evil you were going to do. Jonah knew God and Mary knew Jesus. And she just knew that he would do good. And what we need to do when we get the silent response, what we need to do when we don't get our prayers answered by Wednesday, what we need to do when we don't get the snap of the finger, everything is fixed and solved in a moment's notice, is we need to trust the goodness of God, and we need to begin to do whatever he said to do. We're going to begin to do it, and we're just going to obey, and we're going to start walking in the things that we know to do. By the way, I'm pretty confident today that most of you here, your problem is not that you don't know what to do. The problem is that we just won't do what we know to do. That's the problem. And so trust the goodness of God. Yes, he's going to make you wait. Yes, he's going to, you might get up and read the scriptures tomorrow and you say, well, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, read them again. Read it the next day. Well, I prayed and I didn't feel it. Okay, well, good. Well, let's pray again. And let's just keep on seeking God. Let's keep serving him. Let's keep doing the things we know to do. And that's what we do. Now, Jesus does respond. Verse 6, it says, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. The reason why this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture is because it is so crystal clear about how God works. And if you don't know how God works, I'm about to tell you, God does 2 things in working in your life. Number one, he's always going to make you play a part. God, again, he's not forcing himself upon you. He's not going to just sit there and you doing nothing and he comes. No, you got to play a part. And he saw these water pots there and he tells them, y'all fill them water pots full of water. And he asked them to do that so they could play a part, and also because that's what they could do. If you want to experience God in your life, you want to get things from God, invite him into your life. Tell him what you need and want. And the third thing is this, do all that you can do. Do all that you can do. You know what God does? And this is all that God does. All God does is supernatural things. He's not going to do what you can do. He's not going to do what you can do. And it amazes me. And this isn't just preacher talk today. I don't know how I got on the TV this morning. There was a preacher on TV before I left the house. And he was a preacher, man. He had it down pat. He was doing it. I'm not giving you just preacher talk today. I'm amazed at people that come to me and they want to experience God. They do not read the Bible. They do not pray. They do not come to church. And I want to say, good luck with that. Because if you're not going to read your Bible, by the way, this is God's Word. This is His Word, every one of them. You want to hear God speak out loud, read the Bible out loud. If you want to have God speak to you, read His Word. But they don't read His Word. And they don't pray. and they don't come to church, and I don't know what they want. I don't know what you want today. If you want God to wave some sort of fairy dust over you and you experience God, when you're not doing what you can do, then He ain't going to do what He can do. I understand that this book is a book that is spiritually discerned, but you still got to read it. Still got to read it. And I understand that prayers are supernaturally answered, but you still got to pray the prayers. You have not because you ask not. And by the way, if you wasn't here today, and there are those that are not here, and they're not getting to experience and hear what God is doing. So you have to do what you can do. I gave y'all this example before, but I took a weightlifting class in college. That's the kind of classes that I took in college, amen. C's get degrees and D stands for diploma, and I'm taking a weightlifting class. It's right up there with frisbee golf class, you know, and these other classes I would take. And I'm in a weightlifting class, and this is what our teacher would say every day in the morning. He would take roll and he'd say, this is all we did all semester. He'd take roll and he'd say, go lift heavy things, and he'd go away. And I enjoyed being in the gym and working out, and I went to him and I said, and this is an expert professor, I guess, in college weightlifting. And I said, I'm not seeing the gains I want to see in the gym. And he said, well, what are you deadlifting? And I said, oh, I don't deadlift. And he said, what are you squatting? How's the squats? I said, I don't squat either. And he said, and you're coming to me wanting to know why you ain't got the gains in the gym. And he said, if you don't deadlift and squat, it's not going to happen. So don't ask me that again until you go start deadlifting and squatting. And people come to me and say, I'm not having the experiences with God I want, and I don't read my Bible, pray, or come to church. Don't come and ask me again until you start praying and reading your Bible and go into church. You have to do all that you can do before God does anything. You got to go to the end. You got to go to where say, hey, I ain't got nothing else to do. I don't have another step to take. And by the way, that is with everything in your life. That spirit. Hey, y'all want the church to grow? Everybody would say, amen, yes, glory. We want every seat full. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? If you think God's just going to just send people, you go ahead and wait on that to happen. People come because people invite them. And here we all are. If we all would go out and meet people at our jobs or our neighborhoods and our gas stations, our kids' little league games and our kids' schools and all that, and we would meet them and we'd say, hey, why don't you, and by the way, we've been having first-time visitors probably the last 4 or 5 weeks in the middle of the pandemic. It's great. And you know why they're here? Because people invited them to be here. And so we can't stand before God and say, God, why didn't you grow our church? And He'd say, well, how many people did you invite to church? And then we look like, you know, morons, for lack of a better word. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. And it goes on to anything. You say, well, I'm unemployed. I need a job. Well, how many applications have you put in? You think God's just going to give you? Now, here's the amazing. This is what God will do. Put out 10 applications and maybe a company that you didn't even apply for call you and give you a job. But you were trying to help yourself, and then God can come in and help. Do not think today. He said, fill the water pots full of water. And if they'd have said no, I want you to know we'd be reading a different story or wouldn't ever have made it into the book. But they did all that they could do. I'm reminded of the black preacher. Had a lady in his church. And she said, preacher, I'm praying for a husband. He gonna send me a husband. And he said, well, why don't you quit praying and comb your hair and quit wearing your pajamas to the store first, you know? And his point was, help yourself before you want God to help send you a husband when you won't comb your hair and you wear your pajamas all day, every day. And so you have to do that well. And by the way, the reason why I love this is it's throughout Scripture. I'm reminded in the Old Testament when he said, dig this valley full of ditches and you won't see any rain and you won't see any wind, but I'll fill them full of water. But you know what they had to do? They had to get shovels and dig the ditches. I think about Moses standing on the banks of the Red Sea. You know what God said? He said, step off into the water. and raise your staff. And what did he do? He parts the Red Sea. I think about when Jesus fed 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. He could have fed them. He could have just snapped his finger and it done. But they brought him five loaves and two fishes. They brought all they had. They said, this is all we have. And he broke. And then he said, y'all tell him to sit down. And then he started handing it out. And then the miracle took place when they did all that they could do. He came to the tomb of Lazarus and he said, y'all go over there and roll that stone away. Well, he stinks by now. Go roll the stone away. Had they not done that, you know, do what, you know, they can't bring Lazarus back, but they can roll the stone away. They can't feed 5,000, but they can bring five loaves and two fishes. They can't turn water into wine, but they can fill these water pots full of water. You have to do all that you can do. And until you do that, don't expect miracles. God only works in miracles. He wants you to do what you can do. And so I also like how it says there in verse 7 that they filled them up to the brim. You know, not halfway. Didn't put a cup in. He said, fill these pots with water. And they filled it to the top. They filled it to the brim. They did all they could do. And then he said, now start dipping in and start serving it out to the guests, to the governor that's here. And I really believe as they did that and began to serve others and began to give it out, that's when the miracle of the wine took place and the water was turned into wine. The other thing God's going to ask you to do is after you've done all that you can do, he's going to want you to serve other people. It's not just about you. When you've done all you can do and for you, then other people are going to benefit from what God is doing in your life. And that's when God does what we can't, when you do what you can. I think again about marriages. Well, I want my marriage to be good. Well, be nice to your spouse. How about let's start there? Well, I don't have any friends. Well, how about be friendly and be nicer? And we could go on and on and on. God gives practical advice to all of us every day. I teach school and kids want good grades and they want to pray and don't want to study. Good luck with that one. I always say there'll always be prayer in school as long as they're giving out tests. But you need to be able to do the work. And then in verse 9 it said, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto them, every man at the beginning does set forth the good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This governor did not know nothing about the wine. He didn't know about the miracle. He didn't know that it was water turned to wine. He didn't know about Jesus. He just knew that it was great. And I want you to understand this, that when God starts to work in your life, everybody around you is not going to understand or know what God is doing. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to maybe be able to relate. They might not even care. But you'll know. It said, but the servants which drew it out, they knew. And I can't tell you how many times you might want to share with someone else what God is doing and they don't get it. You ever try to explain to somebody spiritual things or things about God when they're not in tune with it and they don't get it? But that's okay because it's about you. It's about you. I have to think that those people that filled them pots with water and started dipping out the wine, I think it's something that they remembered the rest of their life. I think it's something that made an impact on them that changed them to say, hey, I was there. I was one of the ones that filled those water pots up with water. I was one of the ones who dipped it out and served it. I saw Jesus turn water into wine. And by the way, as Jesus' life unfolds, you know what people could say? I saw him raise the dead to life. I saw him walk on water. I was one of the 5,000 that he fed on the hillside. I was blind, but now I see. My cousin was sick and he healed him. And they seen those things and it makes a difference and an impact on our lives. Just like me recalling the nursing home story earlier. And by the way, Miss Pauline was 104 years old. I wasn't just exaggerating, right? Every time I'd come in, she'd say, "You know how old I am?" I'd say, "How old?" She'd say, "104. I don't look like it, though, do I?" I'm like, "No, I don't know what a 104-year-old looks like, but it's, you know, you look younger than that." But all these things that we do, and if you were to think back on what God does in your life, they make an impact on you. I'm reminded of what George Mueller said, and as he just experienced God in great, great supernatural ways, he said, "If God lets me down this time, it'll be the first time." And man, when you start knowing and experiencing God, look at what it says in verse 11. "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." You know, today may be the beginning for you. You came in here wanting to know God, wanting to experience him, wanting to walk with him. Here we are on a December Sunday in 2020, and you heard a message about Jesus turning water into wine. And you leave from here and you say, "I'm just going to do everything I can do. I'm going to do all I can do. I'm going to do my part." And God begin to work in your life. He begin to answer prayers. He begins to work supernaturally. He begins to do things that you can't explain. And he begins to manifest himself to you like it says there in verse 11. It says, "And his disciples believed on him." And you know what will happen to you? Your faith will grow. Your faith will grow. We should have growing faith. We should have growing faith. But as we leave from here today, I want to leave you here with simply this. If you didn't hear anything else, just hear this as we go. And I gave you three things. If you want God in your life, invite him in. Tell him what you need and want. But the number three is the most important thing. Do all you can do. Do the thing. God's not going to do what you can do, right? He's not going to do what you can do. He'll only do what you can't do. And he's not going to do what you can't do until you do what you can do. And so I know that's a simple thought today, but I just want to leave you with that. If you want to experience God, do everything you can do and then trust him to do the miraculous things. I can't save nobody, but I can witness to them. I can't change somebody's heart, but I can be kind to them. I can't make God speak to me and answer my prayers, but I can pray and I can read his word. And so do all you can do, and then God will do what you can't do. Amen. Man, it's been good to be with you today. I hope that you got a blessing from being here.